Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
The Week 11 ranks. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and with me today is my good pal, Pat Fitzmorris, who is contractually obligated to be here for every single ranked show, and we're going to break down the ranks in the NFL for running back and for wide receiver. And joining us as our guest this week is our good pal from Sportsline, Jacob Gibbs, who's joining us to discuss all of those rankings for your benefit. Jacob, welcome back to the show, my friend. I hope you're doing well. And as always here on the program, we like to press the guest here right at the top. So with the news that came out yesterday regarding Khalil Herbert going to the IR, which kicked a lot of us in the pants, I will say that, David Montgomery now kind of has that backfield to himself. What does this do for Montgomery's value, in your opinion, rest of season here?
Yeah, I think it solidifies his projection on a week-to-week basis. We've seen some really low floor games from him recently. But honestly, I'm not super excited about Montgomery. He's had really great usage, even with Khalil Herbert healthy, and it just hasn't amounted to much. The offense is really flowing through Herbert right now, or through Justin Fields right now.
It sure is.
And so, like, there just hasn't been much for him. But I think things could swing back in his way. He's not getting targeted at all, which has really been a problem for him, because that's been something that's kind of boiled his PPR value in the past, but he has one of the lowest target per route run rates at the running back position. So I'm not super excited, but it does. I think I have him as running back 16 this week, and he was running back 21 before the news.
All right, there you go. Tristan Ebner, another guy too, that was picked up in some deeper formats, I know as well, but as somebody who has a lot of shares of Herbert, I was none too pleased about that. So, but you're right. I mean, Montgomery's been getting a lot of usage. It's turning into productivity. That seems to be the catch. But we're going to be productive today. Don't worry, everybody, because we're going to take a look at the RBs and the differences between the ranks of Pat and Jacob here. And let's start here at the top with Isaiah Pacheco of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Running back rankings.
Pat, you've got him as RB17. Jacob's got him at RB23. Consensus a little closer to Gibbs here at 24. So let's talk about Pacheco, who I feel like we're continuing to move in the right direction, but you seem to think there's going to be a jump for Pacheco in week 11.
Maybe, Joe. Right before we recorded the show, I saw a little note that Andy Reid downplayed the lack of a role for Clyde Edwards-Helaire last week and said it was just game circumstances and it's still a committee. So we'll see about that, but we're definitely seeing greater usage for Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, remember when the Chiefs announced that he was going to be the starter a few weeks ago, and it was largely a ceremonial thing where he did start but didn't necessarily play more? Well, this past week, he played over half the offensive snaps for the first time. Season high 35 snaps, season high 16 carries for 82 yards. But this was also a game where the Chiefs got out to a 20-0 lead against the Jaguars and just kind of put it on cruise control after that. So, Is there a paradigm shift going on here or not? I guess it's kind of hard to tell with what Reed just said about the backfield, but we do know that the Chargers run defense absolutely stinks. So, and it does feel like Pacheco is now the lead early down ball carrier. He's going up against a Charger run D that's given up 5.7 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Like, this is a soft run defense. The Chiefs are solid favorites. So I don't know. Like, I think it's a good spot for Pacheco. And even if this is kind of a committee, I think he can still sort of make his fantasy quota.
All right, let's talk about your take with Pacheco here. 16 carries for 82 yards. He got the Chargers this week. A lot of this has to do with his matchup against the Chargers, Jacob. So what are your thoughts on Pacheco this week? Obviously, you still got him in that fringy RB2 conversation, probably starting in a lot of leagues. But what's your comfort level of starting him?
Yeah, I think my comfort level will depend on the injuries to Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, actually. I think if both those guys are out again, which it's looking like they're on track to play, then the Chiefs would have a much better chance of controlling the game script and leading up Pacheco like we saw last week. And the matchup is great. So if the usage is there, anywhere near what we saw last week, is probably going to be a top 12 finish for Pacheco. But if it's more of a neutral game script, I am a little bit worried about him. He just hasn't drawn targets at all. He has a 5% target per route run rate, which is by far the lowest of the running back position. Like, for reference, Khalil Herbert, Brian Robinson, Tyler Algier, some of those guys that just don't get targeted at all are at 10%. They're double Pacheco. He never gets thrown the ball. And I'm glad that you found that quote, Pat, because just as someone who watches the Chiefs every week, I'm from Kansas City, I don't feel confident in what we're going to see week to week, even with what we saw last week. I don't know that the Clyde thing is real. It wouldn't surprise me if things even out, kind of like we've seen with the Rams, where like Darryl Henderson gets fed 1 week and then all of a sudden, you know, it's more split. So I'm glad you saw that we have like actually some evidence from Andy that's not just like anecdotal, because I don't know if I'm convinced it'll have the role.
And if you can't trust a coach in the NFL, then who can you trust? I mean, really. Let's go to the next guy here, DeAndre Swift. Pat, you've got him at RB28. You've got him, Jacob, at RB33. ECR was in the 30s, but over 24 hours since I put this all together, it's moved now to number 27, so a little closer to Pat now. So, Pat, let's talk about DeAndre Swift, what you saw last week out of him. You saw 6 rushes for just 6 yards, but he did have that touchdown that kind of saved the day a little bit. He finishes RB30 this week. He's got the New York Giants. So your thoughts on Swift this week and your confidence level?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tricky situation because we don't know if this is a matter of Swift still not being 100% healthy after dealing with ankle and shoulder injuries, or if it's just the Lions staff maybe liking Jamal Williams more than DeAndre Swift. And it's funny, Joe, like I think back to Hard Knocks and the Lions appearance on that this summer on HBO. And like sometimes Hard Knocks leaves little breadcrumbs that fantasy managers can follow. And like we got some breadcrumbs, I think, with Jamal Williams and how he was just a star of this summer's Hard Knocks and just this super charismatic guy who his teammates loved, who the coaches loved. In the first episode, the Lions had a bad practice and Williams gathers the team in a huddle and like goes on about how much losing eats at him and how like, you know, he wanted to get things turned around. And like it started in training camp. It was this impassioned speech. But then again, there was also an episode of Hard Knocks where the coaches were meeting and talking about how awesome DeAndre Swift was and how talented he was. And they just had to like, you know, fix a few little issues with him. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's possible we get a big Swift usage bump at some point soon here once he is deemed to be 100% healthy. So while I still have Jamal Williams ranked ahead of him and pretty comfortably ahead of him, like it's not that big a gap. And I know some other rankers have a much wider gap than I do between the two backs. So, I still think Jamal Williams is a fairly safe start in most leagues this week, whereas Swift is more like in the flex conversation. But, it's kind of a fluid situation, I think. And I got to believe that health at least plays a small role in Swift's lack of usage lately.
Jacob, Swift is probably one of the tougher guys every single week to rank. So for you looking at this, I mean, I understand kind of just putting him right outside in that flex spot because that's kind of what he feels like he is this week. So how confident are you in the flex appeal of Swift for week 11?
You're basically hoping for a big player touchdown. The volume is right. Just not there at all. 41 running backs had a higher snap rate than DeAndre Swift last week. 35 had more touches. 39 ran more routes than DeAndre Swift in week 10. And that's kind of a problem, is like he had the long down and distance role secured when he came back. It seemed like he just wasn't getting a lot of carries, but like last week he lost some of those snaps. I think at some point it seems likely that he could, you know, step into a larger role like we've seen in the past, but we haven't been given any indication that that's coming based off his usage, you know, in the past weeks. It's not like he's slowly trending in that direction or anything. I have a really tough time ranking him inside of the top 30. Running back is kind of deep this week.
Yeah, surprisingly so. Yeah, in terms of the buys, the way things shaked out too, it seems like it's better than some other weeks that we've had in the past. Miles Sanders is coming off a down week too. Now we can account for maybe a little bit of game script there with the Commanders and how that game ended up going. But you've got him, Pat, at RB14. Jacob's got him at RB20. 14 is where ECR's got him too. So the ECR, the consensus, is going right back into that well with Miles Sanders. You seem pretty confident this week about that same logic against the Indianapolis Colts. So talk to me about Miles Sanders in week 11.
Yeah, he is coming off the down week, Joe. And every week when I put rankings together, like I am always, you're a pro wrestling guy, Joe. I am always fighting a steel cage match against recency bias, like every week. And, you know, I think with Miles Sanders this week, I won the steel cage match, trying not to let last week's down game sway my ranking of him. And at one point late in the first half of that game, I was kind of sweating out like I needed 60 yards out of Terry McLaurin to win a game, a critical game in my most important league. And right at the end, when he had a catch in the first half that put me over the top on that drive, Joe Buck, I think, mentioned that the Washington Commanders had run 51 plays at that point in the first half against the Eagles. And it was the most offensive plays any team had run all year. So what are the ways in which Miles Sanders could fail in any given week? One is a rare unfavorable game script, and he had that against Washington, with Washington just completely controlling the ball all game. The other would be with Jalen Hurts poaching him on a short touchdown, and that also happened last week against the Commanders. So the Eagles ran just 46 plays, fewer than the Commanders ran in the first half, and yet like Sanders still did have 12 carries for 54 yards, avoided a total washout. No, he does not help you much in the passing game. And Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott are also involved. But, I mean, that's why Sanders is a running back two and not a running back one.
I'll use another wrestling analogy. You know, when it comes to Miles Sanders, Pat, you know what it is? It's the good hand. It's not the guy that anybody comes to the match to see. It's not the marquee guy, but it's the person that you put in the ring that you know you're going to get a good match out of, and you feel good about it. And every week, I feel like Miles Sanders is kind of floating in this area. And you need Miles Sanders. He helps out the roster, so to speak. So, Jacob, when you're looking at the roster and you're looking at Miles Sanders, you've got an RB20, still an RB2, but do you think he can bounce back from last week's disappointing showing? And the Eagles were disappointing overall last week.
He definitely can. I worry about the time of possession thing continuing. You know, on a primetime spot, teams all saw how to beat Philly. And Philly is really struggling to stop the run right now. And now they're going against Jonathan Taylor, who looked great last week in a similar spot. It's a worse Raiders defense, but a defense that is struggling against the run and is banged up, kind of like Philly. And so that could continue to be a problem. And then on the other side of the ball, the Colts are really good against the run. They're fifth in rush defense DVOA, they're third in adjusted defensive line yards. I with Sanders, it's tough for me to rank him ahead of guys who are going to play 80 to 90% of the snaps and are in good spots, like Devin Singletary. Even like David Montgomery, like we talked about, like it's hard to rank him ahead of him. And I think you could honestly make a case for someone like Pacheco ahead of Sanders, because he's floating around that 60% snap rate. He's even, you know, not getting all the snaps or touches inside the red zone. Like Boston Scott got a carry from inside the 10 last week and split red zone snaps evenly with Miles Sanders. What are we doing? What is that? You don't have to worry. I don't understand what that is, but like you don't have to worry about that with a lot of these other running backs that are getting ranked in the top 15. So to me, like there's upside for him to get there any given week, but I have a tough time justifying ahead of guys like even James Conner, who we're going to talk about later, played 95% of the snaps last week. You know, it's just way different role.
Yeah. Can I make one more point about Sanders' show? I was just going to say that I do think the volume's pretty safe. Like he's averaged 16 carries, just a shade under 16 carries a game this year. And the Colts, although they are good against the run, like as far as efficiency, they have given up the third most rushing attempts, mainly because they've been a bad team this year. And, you know, unless you are buying the 1 week Jeff Saturday fix, which I'm really not. You got to figure the Eagles are going to get another run friendly, like positive game script this week.
There you go. Any given Saturday. That's my new thing. I want that on a t-shirt. Let's get to the other side of the coin here. We'll take a look at the guys that Jacob is higher on than Pat. Before we do, just a reminder, fantasypros.com/contest. We're giving away an Austin Eckler autographed jersey. That's right. Signed by Austin Eckler himself from pristineauction.com. Go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. And here's what you got to do. You have to leave a review of the podcast wherever you get your pods. Go to Apple Podcasts, drop the review. I love the show. It's the best. My teams are all great. Thank you, Fantasy Pros. Or, hey, you know, my teams didn't work out, but I still love the show. Anything you want, go ahead, drop that 5-star review, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest. And don't forget, you can get other entries too by following us on our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and of course the TikTok, where Andrew Erickson is famous. Jacob Gibbs, let's talk about Jalen Warren. I've got a hot take, a bold prediction this week that Jalen Warren is going to outscore Najee Harris this week, who's dealing with that little bit of a knee issue after his 20 carries, the most he's had all year. Jalen Warren is a player that if you look at the rankings right now, you've got him as RB32. Pat's got him at 38. ECR is at 41. So let's talk about Jalen Warren and what you think his upside is in week 11, especially in those PPR formats.
Yeah, well, it's really not that hot of a take. He outscored him last week, you know?
Don't tell Mike Mayer. Then he's going to make me go back and make another bold prediction. Don't say those things out loud.
Yeah, he outscored Najee last week, even with Najee getting, you know, all the carries. And that's, like you said, PPR. It's because he got, you know, the work through the air. 14 routes for Jalen Warren last week compared to 16 for Najee. He's been, you know, playing this third down role all year and slowly cutting into Najee's work there more and more. And he almost ran more routes than Najee last week with a game script that completely favored the early down back. That could be different this week against Cincinnati. And then also, like you mentioned, there's the knee injury for Najee Harris. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Warren get a little bit more involved than we saw last week. And if he gets more involved, he's been awesome. He's first or second in basically every advanced rushing metric. He's avoided a tackle on over half of his rushing attempts, which is absurd. He's gained 10 plus yards on over 1/5 of his rushing attempts, which he's the only player in the NFL to do that. It just feels like at some point the dam is going to break and he's going to bust off 90 yards and 2 touchdowns, have a huge game. He really hasn't done that yet, which is what's so crazy about Warren's stats. He's insanely efficient, has the highest explosive rush rate in the NFL, but his longest rush is 21 yards. He hasn't had, you know, it's not like it's a small sample size and he has some two big runs that are really inflating things. He's consistently been really, really efficient all year long. And it seems like at some point he hasn't scored a touchdown. At some point he's going to find the end zone, or he's going to break off a long run, or he's just going to get a larger share of the workload. And when that happens, he's probably going to be a top 24 back. He's been a top 30, top 35 back without those things.
Pat, as we continue to monitor practice reports coming out for Pittsburgh, do you see yourself, if those practice reports continue to be muddy for Najee Harris, making an adjustment here, moving Warren up and Najee down potentially as we get to Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, if it was anything with Najee missing practice, then definitely. But if it's just maybe a limited thing, it's probably going to stay the same. It's funny, like he's kind of, Jacob framed the value proposition, I think, really well with Jalen Warren. Like, to me, he's probably sort of just on the wrong side of like start sit in a lot of cases. But like that usage in the passing game sort of paired with his occasional usage on early downs, like makes him really close to being a starter. And it's like you're holding a straight flush draw here. And like there are some different ways to make your hand. Like it could be an injury to Najee Harris, or the knee gets worse, or the Steelers find themselves like down multiple scores against the Bengals and they want, you know, more of a passing down back, you know, that spikes Warren's snap share maybe. So there are ways for him to be fantasy relevant right now. I think right now he's kind of a desperation play in week 11. I don't know if I'd feel super comfortable with him in the lineup, but like there are ways for him to get there and give you a fantasy relevant game.
Let's move on to Tony Pollard, RB9 for Jacob this week, RB15 for Pat. That's where ECR's got him too. Tony Pollard, though, has 53 half PPR points in the last two games that he's played. He's got Minnesota this week. I know some people are still holding that torch for Ezekiel Elliott, but Jacob, I think that torch is about to get snuffed and Jeff Probst is going to send them back home. So to me, this feels like it's Tony Pollard's world and Zeke is barely living in it. What are your expectations for him this week, but also rest of season? Because I think a lot of people are wondering, is this the time in, you know, to sell on Tony Pollard, because if Zeke comes back and eats into the workload a little bit down the stretch here with the trade deadline looming, a lot of questions I got yesterday about Tony Pollard. Where do you see him, not just in week 11, but also down the stretch run here too? Is he that dude? Because he certainly has looked like it the last two outings.
Yeah, he has. I mean, we have three starts, sample size of three starts with Tony Pollard, and he's averaged over 30 PPR points in those starts. He's insane. To be clear, he's ranked as RB9, as that's assuming the Zeke doesn't play. If Zeke were to play, he would be in that 15 to 20 range. And I think that's where you will find him most weeks, even if Zeke is healthy at this point. Pollard is, he was already taking a larger and larger share of the workload there, and being targeted at a really high rate. And I think that is something we would continue to see, and they've got some favorable matchups coming up, this being one of them. But yeah, if Zeke's out, 86% snap rate for Pollard last week, 70% route involvement rate. Those are both top seven at the running back position. That's like, you know, the route involvement there is like just behind Christian McCaffrey. So if he's playing that type of rate and he's one of the most explosive running backs in the NFL, like he's easily a top 10 running back on a week to week basis.
Pat, let's talk about Pollard here for a moment too. Is your ranking based on the thought process that Zeke is going to come back and play this week? And if so, how much does that matter at this point with Pollard looking as good as he has?
Yeah, it's exactly that, Joe. And Jacob just said it. And I think whether Zeke plays or not, you are going to start Pollard. And right now I'm kind of making the assumption that Zeke does come back and play. And I've got Pollard running back 16, actually, and Zeke running back 26. So I've still got a 10 spot gap, even with the assumption that Zeke does play. But you know, like Jacob said, it just, this reflects that me making more of the assumption that Zeke does play, and Jacob is kind of ranking him as if he won't. And then, you know, one of us is going to adjust later on. But I think we have the same idea that, like, we're excited about Tony Pollard regardless and want to get him in lineups.
Well, Jacob is excited about James Conner because he's got him at RB18, which is where ECR is. Pat's got him at RB22. All right, you saw James Conner come back last week, look healthy, get the lion's share. Eno Benjamin gets moved on. So, Jacob, where are we at now this week with James Conner?
Not excited. I just wanted to be clear. I haven't been excited about James Conner in a long time.
All right. But that's fair.
Yeah, it's more of just a volume thing. 95% snap rate. He saw 8 of 12 red zone touches. They had one play from inside the five they gave to Conner. He scored. The offense is running through him, and I think even if Kyler is healthy enough to play, he's probably going to be a little bit hobbled, and the offense will continue to run through Conner. We don't know how much it's going to matter. I think they're only implied for like 17 points this week, but just from a volume-based play, even in a tough matchup, a really tough matchup, the Niners haven't allowed 60-plus yards rushing all year to Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Javonte Williams. They've been one of the toughest matchups out there, but I think, like we saw last week, even without the touchdowns, there was enough raw volume through the air and on the ground that I think you can feel comfortable starting him if you have to. But like
he says with a sigh, so I'm sorry that I miscalculated there with your excitement. You know, I get where you're coming from. The matchup is certainly tough. There's no doubt about that, Jacob. And Pat, when you're looking at this matchup here against San Francisco, he is getting the volume. He does have touchdown equity. Jacob makes a great point. Kyler Murray may or may not be healthy enough to run his usual Kyler Murray self. So do you think Conner is somebody that could really disappoint this week because he had the two touchdowns last week and San Francisco was very tough? Or do you think that the volume is enough that you got to start him no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. A dude coming off a game where he gets a 96% snap share and it's a 14 bye week, like he has to be inside of RB2 territory. But the reason that for me, James Conner just barely snuck through the velvet rope into RB2 territory is that the Cardinals running game stinks. Yeah. Arizona running backs are collectively averaging 74.5 rushing yards per game and have 7 touchdown runs in 10 games. The offensive line is just bad at run blocking. Like they're 25th in Football Outsiders adjusted line yards run blocking metric. They are graded 31st in run blocking by PFF ahead of only the Chargers. And they're facing, as Jacob said, just a hellish matchup against the 49ers, who are 3rd in DVOA against the run and are giving up 3.3 yards per carry. So bad matchup. But like, if you're going to just let James Conner hammer away 20 times, yeah, I mean, I guess you got to count me in for that as a running back 2 or flex guy.
All right, let's get to the rankings throwdown. Now, this is the part in the show where Professor Pat usually tells me that I'm wrong and I need to go back and do summer school. Although, in week 10 in the expert rankings, somebody was higher than Pat Fitzmaurice. However, don't look at the on the years thing because Pat is crushing me on the year. I just want to look at week 10. I've got tunnel vision. But Pat, let's talk about it. Brian Robinson. I love this matchup. How do you not love this matchup for Brian Robinson this week against the Houston Texans? I know people like Gibson too, but I'm looking at this. I've got him as RB19. ECR's got him at 26, seven spots difference. I'm in on Brian Robinson. Am I wrong, Pat?
So I'm not quite as pie in the sky as you are, Joe, but I am above consensus with you. So I've got him at running back 24. I mean, against the Texans run D that is allowing a league high 156 rushing yards per game to opposing running backs, and it has given up a league high 13 touchdown runs to opposing RBs. Yeah, there's room at the table for both Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson this week.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about SeatGeek. Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? If the answer is no, then it's time to start using SeatGeek because SeatGeek has all the tickets for all the shows that you should drag your butt to and have some fun, for goodness sake. I'm telling you right now, SeatGeek has the opportunity for you to go out there and get tickets to football games, basketball games, baseball games, concerts, festivals, anything, you name it, SeatGeek has it, and they put the tickets all over the web in one place to make buying simple. SeatGeek even rates the ticket experience from 0 to 10 to make sure you're getting a good deal. Green means good, red means bad. See, it's simple for simple-minded people like me, and it's great for simple fun, which you need to go have. So go visit SeatGeek.com and use that promo code FANTASYPROS. Again, that's one word, FANTASYPROS, to get $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek, or use the SeatGeek app, because think about it. You're already getting a discount on tickets. Now you're getting $20 too on top of that. We're basically giving you money to go take yourself somewhere. So treat yourself, treat somebody else. The holidays are around the corner. Experiences make a great present. Again, download the SeatGeek app today. Use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get $20 off your first order at SeatGeek.com. And now, back to the action.
Wide receiver rankings.
All right, let's see how excited the guys are to talk about the players we have and the discrepancies they have between their rankings. We're going to start with the guys that Pat likes more than Jacob. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 12 this week. You've got him, Jacob, at 17. Consensus is at 14. So, Pat, let's talk about Amari Cooper. I know we're getting closer and closer every single week to returning Deshaun Watson. So, before we get that, let's take another quick look here at Amari Cooper's value. They're going on the road to Buffalo. The home road splits have been drastic, to say the least, when it comes to Amari Cooper this year. So, how confident are you in Amari Cooper this week?
Oh, not immensely confident. Because the usage trends have been going in the wrong direction, like double-digit targets in four of Amari Cooper's first six games, and then just 14 targets over his last three games. You know, plus maybe David Njoku comes back this week. Donovan Peoples-Jones has gotten very involved lately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not – the Bills' secondary has been getting – gradually healthier, so it's possible they're closer to full strength this week, and it's a tough matchup. Even if they're not quite at full strength, the Browns like to run the ball. There's sort of a lot going against potentially Amari Cooper here, but ultimately, you know, I do think he's a darn good player, Joe. And like, I looked at this ranking, like, how do I have him up at wide receiver 12 as like a back end wide receiver one? But then I realized like how many good wide receivers are on bye this week. You've got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle for Miami, Metcalf and Lockett for Seattle, Christian Kirk for Jacksonville, Evans and Godwin for Tampa. So I guess that kind of explains it. Like I would generally have him in wide receiver two range, but in a week where so many wide receiver ones and wide receiver two are off the table for you, I guess it elevates him. I think you're playing Amari Cooper no matter what this week, and maybe wide receiver 12 is a smidge high, but like I think he's a starter for most people under most circumstances.
And Jacob, you know, to Pat's point, we were just recently discussing about, well, it's not the worst week for buys for running backs, but wide receivers, it's a little bit of a different story. There's definitely some guys that we're missing here. That being said, when you look at Amari Cooper and you're looking at, you know, some of the injuries that Buffalo had last week on the defensive side, they were missing guys like Rousseau, Milano, Poyer, you know, obviously losing that game at home, losing two in a row here. Certainly, I would say that Buffalo has a sense of urgency Do you think that that works negatively when it comes to Amari Cooper in this passing game?
Yeah, I'm really worried about Cooper in this spot. I think you probably are starting him if you have him, but if you've got somebody like Alan Lazard, Chris Olave, even Tyler Boyd, or even like Christian Watson, Garrett Wilson, I think you could consider starting those guys over him because it's really not a good matchup. The Bills play a ton of zone coverage, and Amari Cooper has some of the most pronounced man versus zone splits in the NFL. And so you want to be, you know, starting him in those man heavy matchups. But even last week, in what should have been a great matchup on paper against the Dolphins, who play man at one of the highest rates in the NFL, we saw that it was Donovan Peoples-Jones who took advantage of that matchup. And that's been a problem for Amari Cooper. So Peoples-Jones had the big week one, and then Jacoby Brissett just forgot that he existed for 2 weeks. And since then, he has 70 or more yards in 5 of 6 games. He has 50 plus yards in every single game since then. And over that time, over the past 6 games, Peoples-Jones has 40 targets. Amari Cooper has 42. Peoples-Jones has 446 receiving yards. Amari Cooper has 366. I think Cooper's still the wide receiver one, but it's if you just look at their stats, you wouldn't guess that.
Yeah, that's great data points there on them. Let's talk about another guy, too, who's the wide receiver two in his team is Devonta Smith. Pat's got him as wide receiver 19. Jacob, you've got him at 26, so a pretty good size variance there. ECR is right with you, Pat, at 19. So, Pat, let's talk about Smith. Another, again, team coming off disappointment. We're talking about that. Well, the Eagles are certainly disappointed. They're playing the Colts this week. We've discussed earlier, too, about what our faith is in the Colts continuing to do what they did in the previous week with their first game with Jeff Saturday. But here we go on the road in a get-right game for the Eagles. Do you see Devontae Smith having something that looks more like those big 20-point games that he's had earlier this season or something more like the single-digit games we saw in Week 8 and Week 9?
Boy, Joe, I'm above ECR on all these guys you're picking out for me to try to defend when I'm going to have a hard time defending them. Like, I do have some concerns here. It is a tough matchup. The Indy secondary is good. Since week 4, Devonta Smith is averaging 7.5 yards per catch.
Yeah.
And last year's average depth of target was 13.9 yards. This year it's 7.9. But
half almost. Wow.
Here is the but. The Dallas Goedert injury. Like, I think Devonta Smith is the gainer from the Goedert injury, especially with these shorter routes that he's been running this year. Like, I think he is going to be the guy primarily picking up the slack, because I don't know if, you know, Jack Stoll and Grant Calcaterra are going to do it at tight end. So, like, Devonta Smith was already on pace for 87 catches this year. Like, I know not as high a value to those catches with such, you know, turning into a short area receiver and averaging 7.5 yards a catch over the last 6 weeks or whatever it is. But I don't know, with the Goddard injury, maybe like Devonta Smith could possibly make a run at 100 catches this season. So I think he's going to be busier because of that Goddard injury.
It's a great point, Pat. Jacob, do you agree that Dallas Goedert's injury means a boom for the value of Smith?
It could. I've done some studies on this, and tight end targets and wide receiver targets often do not really correlate at all. But it definitely could, just because of the average route depths and average depth of targets, respectively for the two players. I think Pat nailed it, really. He hit on all the concerns that I have with Smith. It's mostly about the routes that he's running. There's just not very much upside. Here are his receiving yardage totals in his most recent games: 39, 22, 23, 44, 87, and 17. That's pretty brutal for a player as explosive as him. He's just really being limited by the role. So yeah, I don't need to be any negative about him anymore. I feel like Pat did it really well, did my job for me here. I just did want to say that I'm pretty sure the last time I was on the podcast, Pat was also higher on Devontae Smith. And if I remember right, it was right before his 31-point game against Washington.
So we should listen back.
Yeah, take that for what it's worth. Pat's good.
I want to go back to your study about the correlation of the vacated targets by tight ends for a second, because you piqued my interest. If it doesn't go to the other wide receivers, does it go to running backs, or does it just disintegrate into more rushing?
I didn't have the time to do like a full study and write an article about it and, like, you know, seek out all of these pathways that come from it. Like, where does it go then? I just remember looking at it quickly. I don't remember why, but there was a tight end that was out this offseason, and we were talking about, well, would this mean more targets for this short yardage guy? And the evidence I found was that no, that hasn't been the case, but I don't necessarily, I'll do it this offseason and I'll get back to you.
All right, there you go. There's your summer project, and you get back to me next year on the show. We do it. Let's talk about George Pickens, one of my favorite guys. Pat's got him at wide receiver 21. Jacobs got him at 31. Not too big of a variance. ECR is right kind of in the middle of 30. We talked about this on Monday on the BP show. We talked about, you know, I think that Pittsburgh's going to hang. Pittsburgh has given the Bengals all they can handle on more than one occasion in the last 2 years. And I think they're looking forward to this matchup here, especially with the Chase injury. So do you think that Pickens here is in a spot to really deliver maybe more than a wide receiver two game?
Yeah, possibly. Let me ask you, Joe and Jacob, do you have Pickens or Deontay Johnson ranked higher this week?
Jacob, do you have yours up? Yeah, pretty clearly Deontay for me.
I will pull mine up right here. It's a great question because I remember thinking, oh, where do I want to put the two of them?
Yeah.
I've got Pickens. Where are you, George Pickens? I actually have Pickens. Yes, I have him two spots behind Deontay Johnson right now, but I'm struggling with that.
Deontay, wide receiver 24, Pickens at 31.
Yeah, so I've got Pickens 27, Deontay 28. And Deontay is an excellent possession receiver, no question about it. But man, that role was so much more valuable, even with a badly decaying Ben Roethlisberger, than it has been with Kenny Pickett. And no touchdowns for Deontay this year, no 100-yard games. He's only had one game with more than 63 receiving yards. And it's just been a lot of empty PPR calories for him. I don't know. As for Pickens, he is going to run pretty much all of his snaps against either Eli Apple or rookie Cam Britt Smith. So very favorable individual matchups against the Bengals, who are still missing Awuzie. And I just think Pickens is going to continue his ascent to stardom. We saw them try to get him involved in the running game a little bit last week, got a TD run out of it. So this dude is just a playmaker, and I'm bullish on him. And if I've got him, I'm trying to squeeze him into a flex spot at the very least. I just love this guy.
All right. So obviously the one real bad game there against the Eagles, we all know what happened there, but outside of that, we've seen Pickens, it feels like, most weeks really continue to build that rapport here. So what are your thoughts this week? I know you kind of touched on a little bit, Gibbs, but what else do you think about Pickens in this matchup specifically too? Because the Cincinnati Bengals corners, we know the injuries that are going on there. This is not a very good corner group.
I think there's some upside for Pickens. I just real quick on Deontay, I did want to hit on the role change. His average route depth has been 6 to 7 yards each of the past few seasons, but this year it's up to 9.3. His average depth of target is almost up to 11 yards. He's been used downfield a lot more than in past years. He has a 35% air yardage share on the year. So I think there's upside there. It seems hard to believe that a player as good as he is going to continue to just not ever produce on this type of volume. And he is getting the volume. He has a 26% target share, whereas George Pickens is not getting the volume at all. He's just not drawing targets. And particularly I'm concerned about, he's had some really good matchups. So the Bengals are a team that play a lot of man, and teams do attack downfield against them. They haven't been successful attacking it downfield against them, but that is how they've attacked this defense. So there's the potential for him to, play well here, but he had a great matchup against Miami just 3 weeks ago, and that was one of his best outings in over a month, but he didn't really take advantage of that the way I would have liked to. Same against the Saints, that has no pass rush and plays a lot of man defense. He didn't do much against it. We keep hearing about how awesome Pickens is, but his per route data is really bad. He has a 14% target per route run rate on the year and a 1.1 yard per route run rate, and that's on a pretty large sample size. And I tend to trust that over hype.
Okay. All right. So not being fooled by the highlight reels. There you go. All right.
I'm also still optimistic. This is only going to be a second game without Chase Claypool there. So I'm still hoping that funnels also a few extra point targets his way.
I think Awuzie being out, Pat, is just such a huge loss because their corners weren't very deep to begin with. And losing him is huge. Let's flip the script here and take a look at the other wide receivers that Jacob likes more than Pat. And let's start here with Courtland Sutton. Everybody's favorite except mine. Wide receiver 9, Jacob, you've got him at. Wide receiver 16 is where Pat's holding strong. ECR's at 17. So let's talk about it. Let's talk a little bit about Courtland Sutton here. I know the matchup is good on paper. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. Okay. So sell me here on Courtland Sutton, because I don't know, man. It is just underwhelming in the dictionary. If you flip around, you'll see Courtland Sutton, and there is his face. What are your thoughts here? What can you do in week 11 against Vegas?
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. You're preaching to the choir. I actually was much, much lower on Cortland Sutton than everyone coming into the year. I actually had Jerry Jeudy ranked higher than him. And that's because,
just like Pat.
That's because when they've both been on the field, Jerry Jeudy has been the clear-cut wide receiver one. And so I'm going to give you Sutton's splits here, and this is why we're tentatively in on Sutton this week, is if Judy's out, Cortland Sutton's usage has been that of like a top eight, top 10 type of receiver. So in 2022, with Jeudy on, Sutton has been targeted on 19% of his routes and averaged 1.2 yards per route run. With Jeudy off, he's been targeted on 26% of his routes, so 34% more likely to draw a target with Jeudy off. And he's been 1.93 times more efficient at yard per route run basis with Jeudy off the field this year. From 2020 to 2022, so Jeudy's entire career, Sutton has been 35% more likely to draw a target with Jeudy off. He's been 2.48 times more efficient yard per route run with Jeudy off. So that number has actually gone up over a larger sample size, which is really, really nuts. And so just for comparison, like, you hear these rates, but you might not really look at them as much as I do probably. So you need some context. So his rates this year with Jeudy off are better than Amari Cooper, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and like just below A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, DeAndre Hopkins, those type of guys. That's the type of player we're talking about in a matchup against the Raiders. If Judy's out, I don't know how you don't have him as a top 10, top 12 guy.
I like it. You're putting business ahead of personal here. You've brought the stats and you brought the business. Pat, did he sell you on Cortland Sutton, at least for week 11?
Well, I mean, he makes the excellent point, but we should mention that Jeudy has not been ruled out yet. Although I, too, like Jacob, am ranking Sutton as if Jeudy is going to be out, you know, and I've got him as a high end wide receiver, too. You know, him getting 11 targets last week after Jeudy left on, I think it was the first play of the game. That's encouraging. The matchup against the Raiders and encouraging their 32nd DVOA against the pass. So like easy pickings on the matchup. And what Jacob mentioned about Sutton, like crushing without Jeudy, like we thought Sutton early last year after Jeudy got that high ankle sprain in week one, Sutton goes out and just looks like an alpha receiver for the next month and a half. And everyone thought he was going to smash. Then Jeudy gets back and Sutton's like usage just disintegrated. Like it just disappeared. And, you know, as I think I don't know if it was on last week's show, I pointed out that like Sutton's decline this year sort of coincided with the debut of Greg Dulcich. Like the last the three or four games, like Sutton was doing well. And then all of a sudden Dulcich showed up and like Sutton disappeared. So the reason, like everything about the matchups and the situations with Amari Cooper and Cortland Sutton screams to me that Sutton should be ranked higher. I can't rank Sutton higher because I've seen these guys play and I know that Amari Cooper is like twice the player that Cortland Sutton is. I mean, like that's kind of just, I don't know, man, like that's such a superficial way to look at it.
No, but
I have no doubt in my mind that Amari Cooper's better. Yeah.
I think the best shows and the best analysis is always when you take the data and you take the real football and the eye test and you put them all together and you make your decisions off that, which is why I love our shows here because we like to do that. So I think that's a good thing that we do that. Michael Pittman Jr. I have a whole rant ready about him on tomorrow's show. So get ready for that, everybody. That's what they call a tease in the business. Wide receiver 22, Jacob's got him. Pat's got him at 29. ECR is at 20. And I just looked, he actually moved him up to wide receiver 18 on the ECR. I think the Eagles corners are pissed. They are really good. And I think this is going to be a very rough situation. I know Matt Ryan's back under center, but this is one where I struggle here. So Jacob, you're gonna have to pull out all the data sheets and everything to sell me on Pittman this week, because I think the Eagles corners are going to take out their frustrations on the wide receivers of the Indianapolis Colts. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think you might be right. But we have seen a few wide receivers get by Darius Slay. Terry McLaurin did it again.
He sure did.
Twice. Marquise Brown did it. Those guys aren't very similar players to Michael Pittman. I guess the closest comparison we have that has had a good game against them is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Because Pittman is really running, he's kind of like Devonta Smith. He's really running a very short route tree with Matt Ryan there, and that's kind of limited his upside. And so, yeah, actually, the more that I dug into this and thought about this, and actually thinking about Devonta Smith, got me a little bit lower on Pittman because similar type of routes, and then also I do think there's some potential that the Colts control this game on the ground, which would, you know, then result in maybe not as much passing volume. So yeah, I mean, I did move him down to wide receiver 22 behind like Garrett Wilson. But yeah, with Matt Ryan at quarterback, he's averaged 10 targets and 75 receiving yards. He just hasn't found the end zone. But if he does, like that's a really, really solid baseline, almost double digit targets in every single game with Matt Ryan at QB. So the volume's there. I just don't know how much upside there is.
Pat, the volume is definitely going to be there. The question is, what is the upside in this matchup? So you're obviously a little on the opposite end here from the rankings. So talk to me about Michael Pittman, your expectations for him in week 11.
Yeah, I'm sort of bearish on Pittman. And by the way, I'm glad to hear that Jacob is bullish on Garrett Wilson, because I am too. I think we're both above consensus on him. I like to hear that. Yeah, I mean, the switch from Sam Ellinger back to Matt Ryan like helps Pittman, no question. But I don't know if it's that big a boost for him. 9 targets last week against the bad Raiders defense, and he turned it into 7 catches for 53 yards. So he didn't really cash in. You know, I like the player so much. I really like Pittman. I went into the season optimistic that Matt Ryan was going to be the guy who helped Pittman ball out. And I'm no longer that optimistic about Matt Ryan being able to elevate Pittman. You know, Ryan just sort of throws to the open receiver, too. And we've seen Paris Campbell really come on of late. So I don't know if we can even count on Pittman getting like the 8+ targets a game that he was getting early in the year with Matt Ryan. And the matchup is just bad. You mentioned it, Joe. I mean, the excellent Eagles outside cornerback duo of Darius Slay and James Bradbury. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be upset after
Carter Jackson. Let's not forget that guy who just picks off everything lately.
Yeah. And they just kind of got exposed a little bit by Terry McLaurin. And, you know, they lost their first game of the year.
I think they're super motivated, man. I told everybody on the BP show, man, these in-division games, the night games, when we talked about it, and I talked about it on the live stream too, don't count. Like, look at those pay line. Look at those money lines on those 4-1s you're getting on some of these.
It was five to one on Monday night, right?
And in Carolina, that was the one we talked about on that show too. About, hey, throw 10, 20 bucks on there, because these guys know everyone's watching and they show up for these games. Even the Houston Texans showed up a couple weeks ago on one of these primetime games. So just one of those things you got to keep in mind to watch here. Another one too. This one's really tough, because this guy was persona non grata, you know, a week ago. Now Christian Watson was the darling after scoring 3 touchdowns, which helped very little people in fantasy last week, but now everyone's paid for him. You got him as wide receiver 20. Pat's got him as wide receiver 35. ECR is throwing his hands up at 32, saying, I have no idea what to make. Now, look, I know theoretically you can throw in the Titans. I get that. But this is a leap of faith here. I don't think anybody expects him to match the 3 touchdowns, but what is a realistic expectation for Christian Watson in week 11, Jacob?
Yeah, it's not just the touchdowns. That's the thing with Watson, the usage was there. And he gave Aaron Rodgers every opportunity to not give him that usage. So like week 10 was Watson's first real chance at a prominent role since week 1. And you guys might remember that week 1 was the week where Christian Watson dropped a walk-in 75-yard touchdown on his first NFL target and was basically never heard from again. So in week 10, he drops his first target from Aaron Rodgers, pretty clear drop. His second target is a contested catch opportunity that doesn't come down with. And I'm watching and I'm just like, here we go again. we're just never going to see Christian Watson.
But he came back to him.
42.
It's not like he's got any choice at this point.
That's true. But yeah, 42% target share for Christian Watson, third highest in the NFL last week, 74% air yardage share. He ran a route on 21 of 23 dropbacks. And the Titans, not only like can you throw on them, you can attack them deep specifically, which is, of course, great for Watson with his super high average depth of target. They are a pass final defense. They're first in rush defense DVOA. They're 13th versus the pass. And they have the second highest passer rating on passes that have traveled 15 or more air yards. So matchup is great. Opportunity is there. Really talented player. I mean, almost taken in the first round with very little, you know, collegiate pedigree. So I'm super excited about him.
Pat, are you excited about him? Because it was last week just a one-off where Anthony Brown just can't cover anybody and he just burned him every single time. Like, we can't expect that every single week. But what do you think about Christian Watson this week? How comfortable are you starting him?
Not very. But, you know, we know, Joe, that this ranking wide receiver 35 is a reflection of my cynicism as a Green Bay Packers fan,
which I continue to love your cynicism as a Packer fan.
Yeah,
it gets me up in the morning, to be honest with you.
Man, I just think there's a wide range of outcomes here. Like, I'm excited about the size speed combo. You know, it's almost like a Randy Moss type size speed combo. And I'm not suggesting that Christian Watson is going to be Randy Moss, but there's certainly big play capability here. We saw that last week. It's also exciting that he's paired with Aaron Rodgers, who's, you know, still an elite passer, even if he's not putting up the fantasy numbers this year. And then really, Alan Lazard is the only other viable wide receiver in the offense right now. And, you know, like, Lazard didn't really show up last week. Rodgers was perfectly content throwing to Watson and picking on the matchup, which Rodgers will do. Like, if he gets a matchup he likes, he will go to that well repeatedly. Mm-hmm. So 8 targets last week. I'm cautiously optimistic that he gets consistent targets from here forward. The matchup against Tennessee looks good. I mean, we know the Titans are much easier to throw on than they are to run on. And, you know, but Watson was a small school guy who didn't put up prolific numbers in college, and he's played 7 NFL games. So, like, there is a chance that he shows how green he really is. So, man, like, I'm starting him in one league. I'm dipping a toe into the waters, but I'm a little reluctant to go head first off the 10-meter platform.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to the throwdown here, where I bring up a guy that I'm higher on than ECR and Professor Pat. Takes me to school about it one way or another. Now, last week, it was Darius Slayton, and Pat said, no, you're too high. And guess what? When I plugged in the numbers, guess whose name popped up again? It was Darius Slayton. Pretty good last week. Good matchup this week against the Lions. I've got him at 22. ECR's at 35. I am all in on Darius Slayton, maybe a little too high. Might have to adjust that as we go. But, Pat, are we selling you on Darius Slayton in week 11 against the Lions a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right on ECR with him, Joe.
Okay.
And maybe he does smash. I mean, we know that the Lions have been a really favorable matchup for opposing wide receivers. Although our guy, Bo McBrayer at Fantasy Pros, pointed out to me that, like, a lot of that is going to slot receivers. Like, the Lions zone scheme kind of funnels things toward the slot a lot of the times. And he thinks it's a Wandale week. So, you know, we'll see about that. Yeah, I mean, I've got him towards the bottom of this tier that he is on, along with Kadarius Toney, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Christian Watson, Drake London. Man, he is just going to be like kind of a borderline start-sit guy for me.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
There's always room at the table, too, for our listener mailbag, so let's get to it. Again, straight from our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. Free to join, but if you are a premium member, you get access to stages, AMAs, and a whole lot more. So, Jacob, let's see if we can help out our friend B here. I was just offered Devin Singletary for Brian Robinson. Well, speak of the devil. In PPR, straight up in a redraft league. Ranks tell me to do it. Any reason not to accept. So, would you rather have Singletary or Robinson this week? Both have pretty good matchups, but who would you rather have this week slash rest of the season?
I do have Singletary ahead of Robinson. I worry a little bit that he could lose out on work a little bit to, you know, Nyheim Hines as he gets more integrated into the offense. Looking at the matchups now, the remaining schedule is pretty good for Brian Robinson. Like, the 49ers in the fantasy semifinal week.
Yeah, week 16.
And then the Browns after that are kind of tough spots where the Commanders could be losing. So yeah, I think I would stick with Singletary. I feel a little more safe that they're going to be giving him the ball each week. But what we saw from Robinson last week is pretty exciting. And he does have 3 or 4 straight matchups here where he could continue to get fed.
Pat, do you agree there? You'd rather have Singletary over Robinson ROS?
Yeah, I do. I've got him valued higher. You know, that week 16 matchup against the 49ers is bad. And Robinson still has his bye ahead of him in week 14. So that's basically 2 weeks where you can't use him at all. So I'd rather take Singletary. And obviously he plays in the much better offense too.
All right. Those are the RB ranks. A quick look there. For more, go to fantasypros.com/rankings and see the expert consensus or all the individual ranks as well. And go follow Jacob Gibbs over at JAGibbs_23 on the Twitter machine. Jacob, always great to have you on the show. I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, and that's SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek.com or download the SeatGeek app and get $20 off your first purchase with the promo code FantasyPros. Again, that's FantasyPros at SeatGeek.com. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Pat Fitzmaurice and Jacob Gibbs, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.